This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback across cultures without causing offence or misunderstanding. A practical system for giving feedback that lands well anywhere in the world. In short, after reading this, you will be able to give honest, constructive feedback across cultural differences without causing offence or confusion. Learn the cultural signals that determine how direct your feedback should be. Use a step-by-step script that protects dignity while delivering truth. Follow up in a way that confirms understanding across communication styles. Definition: feedback across cultures is the practice of delivering honest, constructive input to someone whose cultural background shapes how they interpret criticism, tone, and direct this. Done well, it builds trust. Done carelessly, it causes offence that no apology can fully repair. Why feedback across cultures trips up even experienced managers. I have watched a talented senior manager reduce a colleague to silence with a single sentence. The manager thought he was being helpfully direct. His colleague, raised in a culture where public correction carries deep shame, heard something very different. The working relationship took months to recover. Most people know that cultural differences exist. What they underestimate is how much those differences affect the moment feedback lands. The problem is not ignorance, exactly. It is that most of us were never given a real system for navigating it. We rely on instinct, and our instincts are built from our own cultural upbringing. The fear of causing offence also makes people avoid giving feedback altogether. That silence is its own kind of failure. When you stop giving honest input to someone because you're unsure how they will receive it, you rob them of the chance to grow. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for giving feedback across cultures that you can use immediately. If you want to build the emotional foundation that makes these conversations possible, start with emotional intelligence and feedback conversations. Why cross-cultural feedback is harder than it looks. Knowing that cultural differences matter and actually navigating them in a live conversation are two very different things. Most people can name the problem. Very few have a system for handling it. Here is why feedback across cultures is genuinely difficult. You are calibrating in real time. You must choose your words, read the other person's reaction, manage your own tone, and account for cultural signals all at once. That is a heavy cognitive load in an already delicate conversation. Your cultural default is invisible to you. What feels neutral and professional to you may feel cold, aggressive, or disrespectful to someone from a different background. You cannot see your own assumptions until they cause a problem. Silence means different things. In some cultures, a quiet, nodding response to feedback signals respect and acceptance. In others, it signals deep discomfort or disagreement. Misreading silence is one of the most common mistakes I have seen. Face-saving is not a weakness. Many cultures place enormous value on protecting a person's dignity in front of others. Feedback that ignores this, even well-intentioned feedback, can cause lasting harm to the relationship and to motivation. Directness is not a virtue everywhere. Some cultures regard blunt, explicit feedback as honest and respectful. Others read the same words as hostile and clumsy. Neither interpretation is wrong. They are simply different. You fear getting it wrong. That fear is real, and it often leads to feedback that is so softened it communicates nothing useful at all. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, know your own cultural style. Think honestly about how you were taught to give and receive criticism. Did your upbringing favor directness or diplomacy? Do you instinctively soften bad news or deliver it plainly? Your default style is not neutral. Understanding it is the first step toward adjusting it when the situation calls for something different. Number two, build the relationship before the feedback. Trust is the ground that feedback grows in. If the other person does not know you respect them, any critical input you offer will be filtered through suspicion. Invest in small moments of connection, genuine interest, and acknowledge contribution before you ever sit down to address a performance issue. This is especially important across cultural lines, where the relationship signals safety. The role of emotional intelligence and team synergy covers this foundation in depth. Number three, know the cultural context, not the stereotype. Research the broad communication norms of the other person's cultural background, but hold that knowledge lightly. Individuals within any culture vary enormously. Use what you know as a starting frame, not a fixed script. The person in front of you will always tell you more than any generalization can. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Read the cultural signals before you speak. This step is about preparation, not assumption. Before you give feedback to someone from a different cultural background, spend time observing how they communicate with others and how they have responded to feedback in the past. You are looking for real data, not working from a cultural stereotype. The way someone actually behaves in your specific workplace tells you more than any generalization. Notice whether they tend to speak directly or to approach difficult topics indirectly. Watch how they respond when others are corrected in meetings. Do they engage openly or become quiet? Consider whether they prefer written communication over spoken conversation for sensitive matters. Ask a trusted colleague who shares their background if that option is available and appropriate. Reflect on any previous interactions where something felt off and consider what cultural difference might explain it. Example: you manage someone who has recently joined your team from a high-context cultural background. In team meetings, you have noticed they rarely disagree openly, even when the discussion is clearly inviting pushback. Before giving them feedback on a missed deadline, you decide to schedule a private conversation rather than raising it in a team debrief. You open with a question rather than a statement. I wanted to check in on the Henderson project. How do you feel it went? That small adjustment opens the door without forcing them through it. Once you have read the signals, you know which direction to calibrate your delivery. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 2. Choose the right setting and format. Where and how you deliver feedback matters as much as what you say. A feedback conversation that happens in front of others can feel humiliating in any culture, but the damage is especially deep in cultures where public dignity carries high social value. Similarly, a formal written feedback document can feel punitive to someone who expected a warm, private conversation. Getting the setting wrong means your message arrives wrapped in the wrong signal. Choose a private setting for any feedback that involves correction or improvement, regardless of the other person's cultural background. Ask the other person whether they prefer to discuss things face-to-face or in writing. Frame it as a preference, not a test. If you're working across time zones with a remote colleague, choose a video call over a written message for any feedback that carries emotional weight. Give the person advance notice that you want to connect about a specific project so they are not caught off guard. Match the formality of the setting to what they are accustomed to. A casual coffee chat may feel inappropriate to someone who expects structured professional interaction. The right setting does not guarantee the feedback lands well, but the wrong setting almost guarantees it does not. For more on how written communication can create misunderstanding across cultures, reducing misunderstanding in written communication is worth reading before you send that follow-up email. Step 3. Use specific behavior, not character or motive. This is a step that separates feedback that builds from feedback that damages. Across every culture I have encountered in 60 years of working with people, one principle holds: criticism of behavior is survivable, criticism of character is not. When you tell someone what they did, they can change it. When you tell them what they are, you have given them nowhere to go. The SBI method, which stands for situation, behavior, impact, gives you a reliable structure for staying on the right side of that line. You can read a full breakdown in how to use the SBI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides. State the specific situation, when and where the behavior occurred. Describe exactly what you observed, the action, the words, the choice. Name the impact it had on the project, the team, or the client. Avoid words like always, never, typical, or attitude. Separate the observation from any assumption about why it happened. Example script. In yesterday's client call, when the timeline question came up, I noticed you gave a date that was 2 weeks ahead of what we had agreed internally. The client has now built their planning around that date, and we are going to have difficulty meeting it. I wanted to understand what happened from your side before we figure out next steps together. That is specific, respectful, and leaves the door open. It does not accuse. It describes. Step 4. Calibrate your directness to the cultural context. Here is the truth of it. The same words, spoken at the same volume, with the same intention, will land completely differently depending on who's in the room. In low-context cultures, such as those common in the United States, Germany, or the Netherlands, direct feedback is expected and respected. In high-context cultures, such as those more common in Japan, China, or many Arab countries, the same level of directness can read as aggressive, disrespectful, or deeply embarrassing. Neither interpretation is a failure of the listener. It is a difference in how meaning is built. If you are working with someone from a high-context background, soften your delivery without losing your substance. I wonder if there might be a different approach. The client update carries the same message as the client update was wrong, but lands very differently. If you are working with someone from a low-context background, do not bury your point in so many qualifications that the message disappears. Use conditional language to reduce threat. I may be missing some context here, but what I observed was, invite their perspective explicitly. What was your read on the situation? Gives them space to explain before you conclude. Never raise your voice or increase emotional intensity to compensate for a language gap. Slower, simpler, calmer is always the right direction. This is where how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it offers practical language you can adapt to your specific situation. Step 5. Invite a response and listen to what it tells you. Feedback is not a monologue. It is the beginning of a conversation. After you have delivered your observation, stop talking. Give the other person room to respond, and then listen carefully to what they say and, equally, to what they do not say. Across many cultures, the response to feedback is shaped less by the feedback itself and more by whether the person feels safe enough to be honest with you. A quiet, agreeable response does not always mean the message landed well. Ask an open question after delivering the feedback. What is your take on this? If they respond with immediate agreement and no questions, gently probe. Is there anything in what I said that you would push back on? Listen for hesitation, qualification, or change subject. These are often signs that something did not land safely. Resist the urge to fill silences with more explanation. Silence is often the other person finding the words. Thank them genuinely for engaging with the conversation, regardless of how it went. Example, you have just shared feedback about a pattern of late reporting with a colleague who comes from a culture where disagreeing with a senior person directly is uncommon. They say, yes, I understand, I will fix it. You pause, then say, I appreciate that. I also want to make sure this is workable from your side. Is there anything about the current process that makes it difficult? That one question opens a door that a simple great thanks would have shut. A thoughtful response from the other person is your signal that the feedback was received, not just heard. The GROW method gives you a useful structure for turning the response into a real improvement plan together. Step 6. Follow up in writing. A spoken conversation is only half the job. When feedback crosses cultural and sometimes language lines, a written follow-up is not bureaucracy. It is a kindness. It gives the other person time to process what was said without the pressure of your presence, to look up words they were not sure of, and to reflect without needing to respond immediately. It also creates a shared record of what was agreed. Send a brief, warm written summary within 24 hours of the conversation. Use plain, clear language, short sentences, no idioms, no colloquialisms. Summarize what was discussed, what was agreed, and what the next step is. Keep the tone collaborative. Here is what we discussed and what I understood us to agree on. Invite them to correct anything you captured inaccurately. Please let me know if I have missed something. This step does more than document. It signals to the other person that you took the conversation seriously, that you are invested in the outcome, and that you trust them to follow through. That signal matters more than most people realize. Step 7. Check in after a reasonable interval. This is the step most people skip. It is also the one that determines whether your feedback changed anything. A follow-up conversation 2 to 3 weeks after your feedback session tells the other person that you are serious about helping them grow, not just covering yourself. It also gives you accurate information about whether the issue has been addressed. Without it, you are operating blind. The role of communication in meeting success addresses how to structure these kinds of ongoing conversations without making them feel like surveillance. Put a reminder in your calendar for 2 to 3 weeks after the feedback conversation. Open the check-in with curiosity, not assessment. I wanted to see how things are going since we spoke. Acknowledge any progress you have observed specifically. I noticed the last 2 reports came in on time. If the issue is not improved, return to step 3 and be more specific, not more forceful. Keep the door open for their experience. Is there anything I can do differently to support you? This step closes the loop. It turns a single feedback moment into an ongoing relationship of honest, respectful communication. Adapting this process for remote and globally distributed teams. Remote teams add a layer of difficulty that most in-person feedback frameworks were not built for. When your team is distributed across time zones and cultures, you lose the natural cues that make cross-cultural reading easier. Body language, yet office culture, informal conversation. You are left with text messages, video calls, and the interpretations people bring to both. Slow down the written word. An email that feels neutral to you may read as cold or curt to a colleague in a different cultural context. Before sending any feedback in writing, read it once, imagining you are the recipient in a culture where indirect communication is the norm. If it sounds abrupt, write it. Default to video for anything sensitive. Text strips out tone, expression, and the micro-adjustments you make in real time when you sense something has landed badly. A video call gives you more signal to work with and gives the other person the same. Even a short call is worth more than a long email for anything that carries emotional weight. Respect time zone equity. Scheduling feedback conversations at times that are consistently inconvenient for one person sends a signal about whose comfort matters. Rotate meeting times to share the burden fairly. This is not a small thing. It tells people whether they belong. Build in more response time. In a cross-cultural remote context, give colleagues more time to respond to feedback, especially in writing. Processing feedback in a second language takes longer. Pressure to respond quickly produces surface-level compliance, not genuine engagement. The core process does not change for remote teams, only the patience and deliberateness with which you apply it. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: giving feedback publicly to spare yourself a difficult private conversation. Why it happens: public feedback feels less confrontational when you're the one giving it. What to do instead? Schedule a private conversation every time. Public correction is a shortcut that causes long-term damage. The mistake: softening the feedback so much that the message disappears. Why it happens: fear of causing offence leads to language so hedged that the real point is buried. What to do instead? Use the SBI structure to stay specific and clear, even when you soften your tone. Warmth and clarity are not opposites. The mistake: assuming silence means agreement. Why it happens: in many Western cultural contexts, silence during a conversation signals discomfort. We fill it to move past it. What to do instead? After giving feedback, ask an open question and then wait. Give the other person time to find their words. The mistake: applying your own cultural standards for directness without adjusting. Why it happens: your communication style feels normal to you. It does not feel like a style at all. What to do instead? Ask yourself before every feedback conversation: is my default level of directness right for this person, or do I need to calibrate? The mistake: not following up in writing after a spoken conversation. Why it happens: the conversation felt clear. You assume it was. What to do instead? Send a brief, plain language summary within 24 hours. It protects both of you and shows respect for the other person's need to process. The mistake: never checking back in after giving feedback. Why it happens: the conversation felt complete. Following up feels like distrust. What to do instead? Schedule a check-in 2 to 3 weeks later. It signals investment, not surveillance. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have observed how this person communicates in low-stakes situations before this conversation. I have chosen a private setting with enough time and no interruptions. I have built enough relational trust with this person to make honest feedback safe. I know whether this person tends toward direct or indirect communication styles. I have prepared a specific situation, behavior, and impact statement. I have removed any language that implies character judgment or motive. I have calibrated my directness to match their cultural context, not my own comfort. I have prepared an open question to invite their response after I speak. I have scheduled a written follow-up within 24 hours of the conversation. I have planned a check-in conversation 2 to 3 weeks from now. I have read the response, including their silence, before concluding the message landed. I am prepared to revisit the issue if the first conversation did not produce change. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a working process for giving feedback across cultures that you did not have before, one that protects dignity, delivers honest information, and builds trust rather than eroding it. Reading cultural signals before you speak prevents the most common and most costly mistakes. The right setting does more work than most people realize. Private, calm, and chosen with the other person's preferences in mind. Specific behavior, described through the SBI structure, is survivable across cultures. Character judgments are not. Directness is not a virtue in itself. Calibrate your delivery to the person in front of you, not the culture you were raised in. A written follow-up and a check-in conversation are what turn a single feedback moment into lasting improvement. Silence after feedback is information, not agreement. Always invite a genuine response. This skill takes practice. The first cross-cultural feedback conversation you give using this process will be imperfect. The 10th will be something to trust. For your next step, read how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it, to see how this process fits into a broader team dynamic. If your next challenge is a structured development conversation, how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan gives you the next layer of practical structure. Giving feedback across cultures is not about being perfectly sensitive. It is about being honest enough to try, humble enough to adjust, and consistent enough to earn the trust that makes truth possible. Frequently asked questions. What is feedback across cultures, and why does it matter? Feedback across cultures means delivering honest, constructive input to someone whose cultural background shapes how they receive criticism. It matters because what feels direct and helpful in one culture can feel aggressive or humiliating in another, damaging trust and performance. How do you give feedback across cultures without causing offence? You prepare before the conversation, adjust your tone and directness to match the other person's cultural context, focus on specific behaviour rather than character, and follow up in writing. Building trust before delivering criticism is the single most important step. What are high context and low context cultures in feedback conversations? High context cultures rely on implication, relationship, and non-verbal cues to carry meaning. Low context cultures prefer direct, explicit language. When giving feedback across cultures, knowing which style your colleague expects helps you choose the right level of directness without causing confusion or offence. Why is cross-cultural feedback harder than regular feedback? Cross-cultural feedback adds a second layer of complexity on top of an already difficult skill. You must read cultural signals, adjust your delivery style, and manage your own assumptions simultaneously. Most people underestimate how much cultural background shapes what feels respectful versus harsh. How do you know if your feedback landed well across a cultural difference? Ask a genuine follow-up question after giving feedback, and watch for engagement rather than compliance. A person who asks clarifying questions or pushes back respectfully has received your message. Silence and immediate agreement are often signs the feedback did not land safely. What is the role of emotional intelligence in cross-cultural feedback? Emotional intelligence in cross-cultural feedback means reading the other person's reaction accurately and adjusting in real time. It requires suspending your own cultural assumptions about what a normal response looks like and staying curious rather than defensive when signals are ambiguous. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.